Good to see everybody. The name's going to come up on a PowerPoint. So you'll see the order that those are giving testimony. And we're just going to let this flow. So Barbara's going to be number one. Invite Barbara up. And then as soon as Barbara's kind of finished, if Wendy Witherington can come straight up, take the mic and keep the flow going. As a congregation, I just want you to think about some of the key things that they say. See if you can see any similarities between the testimonies. I'm going to try and write a few things down, and we'll see what the big picture is from all of the testimonies right at the very end, if there is a big picture. So, God bless you, Barbara. Over to you. Your 3 minutes approximately starts now.
I talk fast. Right. As the recession hit Spain, I got a little job in the stationery shop in Playa Flamenca. And on my first day, I thought, oh, I better not take a lot of money with me. So instead of having 100 of a purse, I put 20 in it. And I just got a new phone, but I thought, oh, I'm not going to take my new phone. I'll take my old phone. Now, that's the first interesting thing. I go along, and sort of 5 minutes into my new job, and two guys come in, young guys, very smartly dressed, and one's distracting me on reception, and the other one's wandering around the stationery. And next minute, I heard the manager cry out, and she rushed out the office, threw me the keys, and said, lock the door. Right, okay. So anyway, it turned out this guy was putting my handbag down his trousers, believe it or not. He'd gone in the office and so she managed to try and grab it. He ran out the shop, but we were left with one guy still there. And he was frantic to get out. We immediately called the police. They took ages. And funny enough, there was a lot of... The noise was going on so much that actually guys from the fish and chip shop were saying, let me get in, let me get in. I thought, well, he's going to beat him up, I better not. Anyway, this guy is getting really, really, he threatens this manager, and he goes down the other end, and there's a tall, like a little internet section, and he picked up the stool, lifted it above his head, and came at me with it. And I don't know, well, I know now, I've been told, I understand about angels now. And I just went, Jesu Christo, Jesus Christ, like that. He immediately put the stool down, knelt down, and started praying. Wow. Yeah. And I need to say, the reputation went out. Oh, we've got a religious one working here. But, you know, it worked. And the police came, took him away, and that's more or less the story. But how amazing. I only lost 20 euros. All right, all my bank cards went. Soon got that sorted. And he didn't get my new phone. And God protected us. Hallelujah.
Well, I was on holiday down in Ave Marie. And it was a bank holiday. And I desperately needed money. So I went to the bank, you know, the bank thing, put my card in. And my allowance was 300 euros. So I took 300 euros out. It got halfway out and the thing came down. So the money was half in and half out. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what do I do? There was nobody around, nobody at all. No cars, no nothing in this road. So anyway, I prayed. I said, Lord, I need this money. I know it sounds awful, but I had to have the money because I was on holiday and I didn't have any. So anyway, all of a sudden, this lass comes round the corner from nowhere, and she says, problem? So I said yes and explained what had happened. No problem, she said. She puts a card in and she gets 40 euros out, and with that my money came out. I turned round to say thank you, and there was no one there, no one at all. Yeah, I went round like that to see, and there was no one. And all I could say was, thank you, God. And that was it. A good angel.
Sorry about this. Anyway, about 20, 25 years ago, whilst on holiday in Tenerife, we had an encounter with what we believe was an angel. Sandra, in those days, used to love jumping over the waves, swimming in the sea. She still does, yeah. I don't swim, and the thought of going into the sea more than waist deep makes me cringe. Anyway, on the day in question, Sandra and I had driven over to the opposite side of Tenerife, and in those days there was very little there. There was no way of tourism or anything like that. Anyway, we arrived at the beach, and there was no one to be seen, no sign of habitation, just an empty beach, a broad expanse of sand and a few rocks here and there. And while we've been sunbathing for a while, Sandra decides to go into the sea, jumping over the waves as she loved to do. For a while, everything seemed to be okay, but what we did not realize was each time that she jumped the waves, the current was taking her further out to sea. And so she was unable to get, it wasn't long anyway, before the current took her towards some rocks. And she wasn't able to get back. And there was nothing I could do to save her because she was crying out for help. And I could see her being dragged closer and closer to the rocks. And I remember screaming out to God, Lord! Not now! Please! Not now! Don't take her! Not now! And as I was screaming like that, a man came from nowhere and asked me, if Sandra was my wife. I must have looked a bit distraught. I said, yeah. Without even thinking about it himself, he just went straight in and pulled her out of the sea. We thanked the man, hugged each other, looked back, and he'd gone. There was nowhere he could have gone to. He just disappeared. For a while, we just sat in our car holding each other before we could move off. Anyway, we went back to our hotel. And as we were relaxing after a stressful day, someone took a photograph of us with our camera. And in those days, you took film for development, didn't you? And so it was not until we got home that we looked at the picture that was taken that night. And if, could you put up a quick... There we go. It's not very clear, but as you can see from that picture, there's a mist around us. And it wasn't there while we were looking at the camera. And a number of people at our old church said that that showed the presence of the Holy Spirit around you at that time.
Well, I know it was an angel that God sent that day, because I wouldn't be standing here now, and my legs were being cut on the rocks, and suddenly this little man, and I'll never forget him, a little black man with a lot of curly hair and a beautiful face, absolutely beautiful face, and he just pulled me out. I said, thank you Lord that you saved me that day.
Amen. Thank you.
Angel experience was not dramatic. In fact, it was sometime later when I realized it could have only been an angel that came to my rescue. I was driving to Somerset with my sister to visit a very special friend to take her out to lunch. Her name is Joyce, and she's very disabled and deaf and had no phone. To my dismay, there had been a bad accident on the 303 with a long, long queue. And the driver of the car in front said we could be held up for hours. I had promised Joyce I would pick her up at 12 o'clock, and I knew how much she would be looking forward to going out, and I had no means of getting in touch with her. I was getting really upset, so I got my map out to see if there was possibly another route I could take, and if I could turn my car around in the narrow road. I had my car window down, And I was praying, Lord, please help me. I do not know what to do. Suddenly, a man appeared at my window, smartly dressed in country tweeds, and said, could he help me, as I appeared to be greatly distressed. I explained my situation, and he said, if I drove back to the roundabout and took the third exit, I would eventually be able to rejoin the 303 and reach my destination, which we did, and how I thanked the Lord. And we got to Joyce to take her out for lunch as planned. It was while I was thinking about it afterwards, I realized God had answered my prayers and sent an angel to help me. It was on a lonely stretch of the 303 and no village or houses near, and a most unlikely place for this man to be walking. And so I wanted to share this to show how much God loves and cares for us in our situations, which to me was very drastic. So I thank you, Lord, for your wonderful angels that help us and for the other lovely stories that people will share. So thank you, Lord.
Yes, yeah, double act. To echo Stormzy last night, to God be all the glory. Our story starts last year in April. We were on our way back from a golf spa break in Jerez, and we'd stopped at Antequera, a Moorish fortress town with an alcazar bar on top of a hill where there's a castle and now a Catholic church. The castle was built to stop the Christian invasion from the north. We had a walk around the alcazar bar. It was closing up, so we weren't there for long, and then started to make our way back to the ramparts, which overlook the town.
We were just coming out from Athea onto the ramparts, and we came across five mature men who were stood at the wall, and obviously in praise, the hands were raised and they were chanting rather than singing, and we stood there and we listened. And we could hear music, this amazing music and these amazing voices. And we looked at each other and we thought, there must be something over the wall. There must be a choir or concert going on that they're praising with. And we looked over the wall and there wasn't. There were just houses and just the town. So we stood there and listened. And they stopped singing. And I was, while they were still singing, I looked on the wall expecting to see a radio or some sort of sound system, but there was nothing. There was just a hat on the wall, and we just couldn't fathom out where this amazing music was coming from.
Yeah, one of the men fell to his knees while we were there. We left, and they walked off, and we wandered away and wished to this day we'd spoken to them. They probably said, yeah, we do this every Thursday. But the lovely thing for us was coming to these meetings and hearing about the angels and hearing that tape recording of the Kansas chapel, and we heard it and we said, that's what we heard. It was wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
We were just it was just so strange that we couldn't understand why we could hear the music and voices but with no source. And we were walking away and Robin said, I think it was angels, and I said, I was thinking the same thing.
It was perfect.
Yeah, perfect, absolutely perfect. Beautiful experience.
Well, my experience happened last August. I had taken Tommy down in the morning to be neutered, and I was going down 3 o'clock in the afternoon, one sunny afternoon, to pick him up. And I parked, as you do at Bennehofer, crossed the road from sunshine into the shade, and I tripped up the curb and ended on my both knees and my both hands. My handbag went flying. And I don't know whether you go into Bennehofer or any of the Spanish villages at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, not a soul is moving. No cars, no people, nothing. And I was down on the floor, and this young man, well, he was young to me, about 40-ish, came along, and he said, what are you doing down there? And I said, I just tripped and fell. And he said, come on, up you get. And he picked me up, and then he handed me my handbag, and I said, oh, thank you ever so much. And I turned around to say, that was ever so good of you. And he wasn't there. He'd absolutely vanished. And the next part of the miracle was when I woke up the following morning, I thought, here we go. I'd fallen. I'm not light, as you can see, and I'd fallen heavily on both my knees. I had no pain, no bruises, no scratches, no grazes, nothing wrong with my knees after falling heavily like that. Now I just give God all the glory. It was an angel. Thank you.
I wish I could tell you a story like that. I wish there was something I could say to you now that was like that. But what I have to say to you is, can you see up there? Because tonight, every time I've been in this church, for how many years? First time it moved into the new church in Torre Vieja, I see lights, magic lights, bright lights that I believe can only be angels. And tonight, I've had it proved to me. Because that picture that Ken put up is what I see. We have got angels in this church. We are safe. And it's just such a wonderful place, and they are all looking after us all the time. And it's just amazing to see them. The bad part about that is if you see angels, you see the other side of it. But I don't think it's right to go into that at the moment, so I'm not going to.
Well, my angel, how loud am I? My angel experience wasn't when I was older. I was 16 or 17. I didn't really know God. I was a guide captain and a brown owl, and the only thing in church was I knew that there was a God because we said prayers. Anyway, I went camping with a friend of mine and my mum and dad, because like there were six of us. It's the only thing you could do was camp. And we went to Tenby in Wales. And me and my friend Anne decided we'd go down to the sea because you could just walk across, believe it or not, railway lines, but we did. Walked across them, went down to the sea. And, you know, the sea was beautiful. We walked right out to the sea. And guess what? We walked all the way back and went home. So the next day we thought we'd be really clever. Well, we walked out, and there was one man in the sea. Now, when we walked out in the sea, you know, as you walk in the sea, it moves, doesn't it? So you move and you move, and it goes down, doesn't it? So I am not a very good swimmer. I look like I should be, but I'm not. And anyway, we went walking in, me and my friend Anna, and we were giggling and laughing, and I suddenly said, well, I think we ought to turn back. Well, we turned back, and I just went whoa, straight down under the water. So I don't know whether you know this, but years ago they used to say if you went down three times, you'd die. Well, I struggled and struggled and said to my friend Dan, go back, get someone. Anyway, I went down more than three times, and I can remember going down, and I can remember thinking, well, that's it now. But suddenly I bobbed back up again. And lo and behold, this man came swimming to me. Oh, I've got all shaky. Came swimming to me, and he looked at me, and I didn't even find the word significant, but I've learned now. He said, follow me. Anyway, I turned, fluffed, and actually followed him, and he swam in front of me, and he said, swim, swim, and I swam. And the thing about it is, I obviously got back to the end there. Swimming costumes all in the shoulders, they were all sore, all come down, and I thought, okay. And gosh, I looked round to say thank you. And I never saw him, he just wasn't there. And I think, just praise the Lord. Because if he hadn't have been there, I wouldn't have been here now to tell the tale. Well, not a tale, a wonderful, blessed story, but to me it used to be just the thing that had happened.
Jill isn't here. I think she's still in bonnie Scotland. And Sandy is unwell, so unfortunately we haven't got those two to listen to tonight. Is there anybody else here who have not put their name down? Because we have a bit of time. Everyone's been so good with their time allowance. Is there anyone else that has had an experience that they think might have been an angelic encounter? Or even just as we had with Barbara's first testimony, calling out the name of Jesus. I mean, I've got those stories. And then suddenly help comes. Come on then, Helen.
Hello, yeah. I've got two experiences. A few years ago, I was about in my 20s, and I was working in a nursing home. And we had this kitchen. It was a big square table, and it was actually like a... It wasn't a nursing home, it was like a residential home. And the husband and wife ran the place. So it must have been about... I was on a late shift, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, I think. And we hear this knock on the door. So, because I thought it was a bit late. So this young chap said, oh, hello. He says, I'm looking for somewhere to stay. Obviously, being a residential home and that. And I says, oh, so sorry, this is kind of like us ladies and gentlemen stay, and there's not a room for you. So Mr. Reddy says, who is it, Helen? He says, take him in. So we came in and we sat down and made him a cup of tea. And for some funny reason, we gave him some cereal, cornflakes or something to get. And I sat there and I looked into his face and I thought, his eyes were so blue and shiny, you know, and I thought, I really, you know, you feel it. And I felt, I'm sure that was an angel unawares. So that time, that was the first, well, I think that was the first or second, doesn't matter. Another time I was living in Aberdeenshire, and me and my friend, we were young Christians at the time, and we were sitting there having our cup of tea and our fag, we're smokers, and we're having a laugh and that. Just knock at the door again. And there's this lady, she says, oh, I'm looking for this certain person, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, I don't know much about the people on the street. So, and I said, why don't you come in? And I said, and you can use my phone. So she came in, and then she went to use the phone and that. And I said, did you manage to get the person? And she says, no, she says. I said, oh, okay. She says, do you know if there's a bus stop here? Well, the bus has passed by our window. So the bus stop was just down the road. I said, yeah, there's a bus stop down the road. So I went out there, and no, she went out, and then I kind of just made sure that she was at the bus stop. And I looked left, and I looked right, and there wasn't a bus passed by, and she wasn't there. And I know there was an angel. And I also believe, like we said, well, angels are there to minister. And I really also believe that God sends them down to see how we react. Would we open the door to them? Because it is very kind of like scary, but would you open the door to them? What would you do? And I think that the Lord sometimes does that.
We have another one. Oh, we have two. Kathy.
Okay, so we had booked a flight to Valencia a few years ago, and we'd booked an apartment, and the guy that we booked the apartment from said, when you get to the airport, give us a call and I'll give you directions of how to get there. So we landed at the airport. It was me, Andy, our children, a couple of their friends. So we all had phones. And so we got to the airport, phoned this number, and it wouldn't connect. So Andy tried his phones, wouldn't connect. All the children, none of their phones would connect. And we were like, we're stranded. We have no idea where we've got to go. So we looked around the airport, and everyone's rushing around trying to get on their planes or trying to get to their cars or whatever. And we saw a lady sitting on a bench. And so we went over to her, and she tried to speak a bit of Spanish to her. And we said, look, we need to contact someone, but our phones aren't working. And she said, show me the number. So we gave her the number, and she said, that's my friend. She knew exactly who it was and phoned him, and we managed to get there. And I believe that was she was an angel to us that day, because of all the people we could have picked in the whole airport. Yeah, so, yeah, praise God.
Just before we moved out here, we were living in Fulham, London, and a couple of weekends before, I was going to come out for the weekend to see if the house was nearly ready to move into. And at the last minute, something told me and I didn't go, and I stayed home. Well, that same evening, I'd been given some of these Egyptian paintings with all the pharaohs and all the bits and pieces on it. And somebody from our church who came round said you shouldn't have those in the house. So that evening, some people from the church came round to pray on our house, and we took out all the photos and gave them to her son because he wanted them. We were going to throw them away, but he took them. And that night we went to bed, and this was a Sunday morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, there was an almighty crash. I went into the living room, and there was someone coming in through the front window with a big hammer in his hand. And I backed up. But we used to have a dog, and a couple of weeks before we'd had the dog put down because he was a big dog. And I'm back into the bedroom, and he's coming with a hammer. And he's shouting, give me the money, give me the money. And he sort of pushed me onto the bed. And as he did so, he picked up the hammer as if he was going to hit me. And she shouted, Jesus, Jesus. And he put the hammer down. And then he started talking again and said, give me this, give me that. And I said, I haven't got any. I haven't been to the bank or anything. And he picked the hammer up again. And again she said, Jesus, Jesus. And he put the hammer down. And then I gave him, he picked something off the bed, which he thought was her purse, but it wasn't. It was a diary. And our bedroom was upstairs, and we had a basement downstairs. And he ran down the stairs to try and get out. And he went into the back bedroom, smashed the window in the back bedroom, and got out into our garden, which had about a 20-foot wall all the way around it. So he was wandering around trying to get out. And so I called the police, and they said, well, we've had about 10 other calls for the noise. And then he came back in through that window, and he went into what he thought was the way out, and it was a bathroom. And we had a big picture mirror. And he started smashing the mirror. And of course, there was blood everywhere. And then he came and ran up the stairs. I'd opened the front door. He ran out, and Carmenza had gone out. And he grabbed her outside. And I shouted. And then he managed to open the door, walked out, and about 10 policemen jumped on him. and so, you know, I'm sure it's the fact that she called Jesus that saved us. So.
Fantastic. Absolutely, it's the name of Jesus. Chris.
Well, I'm taking my cue from the last story there, because we started with the name of Jesus, didn't we, with Barbara? I've just taken a few notes to try to summarize and pull together what we've been hearing about, what we've been seeing. We started with the powerful name of Jesus and the effect that the name of Jesus has on people. The fact that it brought this man to his knees and it stopped all the violence. And then Carmenza saving Albert there by shouting the name of Jesus and the man sort of panicking or going all over the place and trying to run away. There is power in the name of Jesus. And we heard that about Helena, didn't we, with the prison officer shouting the name of Jesus, and it has an amazing situation. When we think about all the other testimonies from the people that we've heard about, I don't know about you, but certainly there's a bit of a pattern coming, isn't there? There's a pattern of people. In fact, most of them were men. In fact, all of them from the 10 who came up were, there's a man or men somewhere. A man was suddenly appeared, and we heard a lot about the disappearing. So, you know, normally when in social situations like the ones we're hearing about, you know, someone's nearly been drowning and they've come out of the sea, you know, when there's those types of situations, you would expect, wouldn't you, there, are you all right? Is everything okay? There would be conversation, not a disappearance. And so that's one of the things which is very common here. They come from nowhere and they disappear and you just wonder where they have gone. So the suddenly is definitely happening. We had suddenly from Ros, a man is there, disappears. From Sandra and Ken, the same. From Wendy, the same. From Robin and Maggie, there was that picture, and I'm so glad they linked that together with the singing of the angels that we had in the presentation. Angels worship, and they worship in heaven, but why can't they worship on earth? And what was interesting is, again, the strangeness of the music, the purity of the voices, and not knowing where anything is coming from. I like the humour. Maybe if we chatted, they say, well, we do this every day. We just don't know, do we? There's more to the world and what's going on around us than perhaps we can really think about. There's always an element of unexplainable when it comes to these sorts of encounters. And again, with Christine, turns around to say thank you. The man has vanished. He's fallen in need. Someone arrives and they suddenly disappear. We certainly had Roger picked up on the lights, and that was really good from the picture that Sandra and Ken showed. There are some strange pictures, and they are unexplainable, just like the strange sounds of the angels singing on the tape. We don't know everything, and although we can't see the angel, maybe we're seeing something, an aura or whatever around them. And Roger has said to me a number of times that, you know, some people actually can see more into the spirit world. And I know that Roger is one such person. He's told me on a number of occasions what he's sort of seeing about bright lights or shapes. And for another time, we might hear some testimonies about how we engage in spiritual warfare and the demons have to flee. And then what else did we have? Oh, we had two drownings. I mean, obviously, the ladies in the church need to learn how to swim. We started with Jesus and his name. We ended with Jesus' name. We had two stories about being in the sea or something desperate happening. And, crying out, you know, we've had prayers with each one. Lord, Lord, not now with Sandra. And then we've got Diane, you know, Lord, we need help. I need help. Help me. And the man came. And again, the issue is he vanished. And so these things are amazing, aren't they, what is happening? That's the sort of things that I've picked up. I think the ones that we heard towards the end, you know, Helen and Kathy, entertaining angels unaware, I don't know. I mean, you know, when we're welcoming people and we allow strangers, who knows what we're seeing and what is happening, particularly the ones who come and then you wonder where they've gone, and they've disappeared quite quickly. And I have heard other testimonies about us entertaining angels unaware. That's obviously very biblical as well. So that's the sort of thing that I picked up. I hope that's a reasonable summary. I mean, each of us has to discern ourselves. You know, some will have more conviction. Yes, that definitely was. And there'll be occasions when we're not quite sure. But the thing is the Bible and what we're hearing here, I think, is very consistent with Scripture. And I'm absolutely certain that certainly some of these have been scenarios where actually a ministering angel has been there and has been overseeing and has watched, and people have been saved and they've been blessed as well. So we started with the power of the name of Jesus. We ended with the power of the name of Jesus. It's 6:45, and we're now going to sing a couple of songs to round us off as Helena comes up. I hope you found this whole teaching on angels and spiritual warfare and the personal testimonies that you've heard tonight, I hope you've enjoyed that particular series, and I hope it will open our eyes a little bit, and maybe perhaps other occasions in our lives we might think of circumstances, well, actually that was strange, maybe that was God looking out for me through his ministering angels. So over to you, Helena. Let's stand together. We'll sing a couple of songs and then we can be released. And well done to all of you who have spoken, by the way. Thank you so much for that. You were brilliant.